Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on list.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Now, 92.9 FM ESPN presents Memphis's biggest sports columnist.
You ain't got to do nothing, homeboy. You ain't writing nothing. No, you ain't. He ain't writing nothing. I ain't letting him write. He ain't getting no interview.
It's the award-winning Jeff Calkins from the Daily Memphian and the Jeff Calkins Show.
I don't get no interview. I know. I'm good.
On 92.9 FM ESPN.
Gentlemen, this is something they call a groundbreaker. So let me first apologize to the shirts and the ties for your makeup. 'Cause I make you ugly as soon as it drops. We're on a rampage, bubbles popping up before you know it. There's rubble and dust 'cause we'll be pushing it up. Somebody say.
Good morning, everybody, and happy Thursday, I believe. Is that right, Jeffrey? Got a rough to a good start. We do have quite the show today. Dennis Dodd is going to be with us from CBS in the next segment. He has been out in front of all the college football news, which we'll be talking a lot about today. The last 48 hours, it feels like hugely significant, don't you think, Jeffrey, in college football?
They certainly feel like developments. I know that.
It's funny. Like, Pete Thamel basically has – his whole theme is they're not playing a damn game, right? Underlying the whole thing is – and there's a piece up now saying – waiting for college football to unravel, basically.
Yeah.
Who's going to go first? Like, one of the fears is that if someone cancels, if a conference cancels or a school cancels, then everyone, you know, 17 players are going
to
be in the portal
tomorrow.
No one
wants to be first, but as soon as someone dips their toe in the pool, they're like, all right, we're all going to do it together. Yeah.
Because no, it's why there should be a, it's insane.
A commissioner, a czar, however you want to phrase it.
Well, of course, in order for there to be a commissioner, you have to give the commissioner power. And no one is.
Someone trying to come and uproot our system here?
No one is willing to do that. And so, I mean, they barely give the conference power, and then half the time when they do, they get irked and want to take off. Like, look at what happens in the Big 12, right? When Oklahoma and Texas are trying to.
Hey, they were just looking out for the best interests of the University of Texas.
It's like the UN, honestly. You know, like. The U.S. doesn't want Sri Lanka making rules for it, right? And
doesn't.
Right. So, basically.
I've got the answer, Jeff.
Mm-hmm.
We'll police the world.
Right. So, anyway, so it's all insane. The whole thing's insane. And you got some schools on lockdown right now or pause their workouts. Rutgers, I believe, Northwestern, Michigan State, I think are all. I don't know what just happened in Louisville. Page went to a party. Is Louisville shut down now, too?
I'll double check.
And then you've got, you know, this is essentially media day for Memphis football. Ryan Silverfield is going to be available, and the coaches are going to be available via Zoom. And the players start practicing tomorrow.
Yep.
Memphis football starts practicing.
And they're trying to start on time.
Tomorrow, and they're trying to start on time and play an 11-game schedule. And today, we are going to have Laird Veach on the show. He is the athletic director at the University of Memphis. They have been teasing their approach to seating people. So yesterday, we've been getting hints all along as to sort of what's going to happen, right? And so then yesterday, they announced their schedule. It's an 11-game schedule. The game against Purdue is missing because Purdue is only playing a conference. Big Ten's only playing their conference games. And so that one's missing. But otherwise, it is an 11-game schedule, and they're planning to go ahead. What's very clear is that when people say it's all about money, like it's a bad thing.
It's not just about getting football money.
Just like everything for everybody is all about.
You
like,
have to pay for
restaurants
things.
Is all about. Everyone is trying to figure out how to stay afloat right now in this age of a pandemic. That goes for the broader university. Why is the University of Memphis having students back in dorms? I say back in dorms. They've had some students in dorms all summer, international students, et cetera. But welcoming students back in dorms, dining plans, et cetera. Why?
It's a revenue stream.
It's a revenue stream. Why? Because they otherwise, here's what happens. You have massive cuts at one of the most important institutions in the city of Memphis. You have giant layoffs. You have the university being, which already was not, you know, rolling in money, having to make huge cuts. And so, yes, it is. It is about, it's about survival. Listen, the state no longer supports state universities. That's beneath them. The amount of state money you get at a state university has been cut and cut and cut and cut and cut. You could fix it for the University of Memphis. If you had a state income tax and you had a supported your universities, they wouldn't be in the dire straits that they're in. But that's not the world we live in. And so there you go. And so yes, is it about the money? But it is funny how it works. Like in the Ivy League, here's how you know. In the Ivy League, where there's no money at stake, they say, yeah, we're not playing.
Division II.
Division II, no money at stake. They say we're not
Division
playing.
Division III.
Now, the SEC, where there is big money at stake, largely through television, they say, okay, we're playing, but we're just going to play conference games, which is going to get us most of our money. They're going to delay the start of their season, and they're going to just play the conference games because of money, right? And then the AAC, well, they can't do that because they don't get the big TV money and because they don't want to have to forfeit the money that they get from Purdue. They want to be able to tell Purdue, hey, Purdue, we were willing to pay you. You owe us a cancel fee for bailing out of that game.
Correct.
And so everyone is, yes, literally everyone is making decisions based on money. And guess what? In your home, guess what you do? I bet you make decisions on based on money.
Aliyah makes decisions based
everyone on money. Everyone is trying to survive, man. Like restaurants with a curbside, like everyone is trying to survive. And I don't blame anyone for trying to survive. But anyway, so Laird Veach, they're so today is the day that they're releasing their season ticket plan. And here's the truth. They originally, when they said, listen, the only way you're going to get into games is if you buy a season ticket. We're not going to be able to sell any individual season tickets.
Yeah, that was the early part of the summer.
At that time, they thought, listen, 6 feet of social distancing? We can probably get, you know, whether it's 15,000 season tickets, we can get you all in. And we'll take care of the season ticket holders, and that'll be that. Now it became very clear that the health department is saying 12 feet of social distancing, just like they did for a 901 FC. Why? Yeah. Because 6 feet is if you pass someone at the grocery store or whatever else. When you're yelling and screaming, it's like singing, for example. If a performer is performing, it's 12 feet because there's an expulsion of air and whatever. And the same thing's when you're yelling, F you, ref, whatever it is, or Silverfield, I can't believe, or whatever it is.
I completely disagree.
Or go, yes. Go Kenny Gainwell, I want to have your child, whatever it is. Like,
He's fast.
That's 12 feet. That's 12 feet. And so at 12 feet, they can't fit y'all in. They simply can't fit y'all in. So today at 10 o'clock, the University of Memphis is going to unveil what they are planning to do with season ticket holders. And I will guarantee you that some people will be unhappy because they can't get everybody in. The truth of the matter is, even if they'd gotten everybody in, they wouldn't have been sitting in their regular seats, of course, and some people would have been unhappy.
Sure.
And now they won't get everybody in. Who knows what they're going to do? Maybe they'll do like a, you get a certain number of games. Like that would be a,
yeah.
That would be an option that might make sense, right? You get a certain number of
some
games.
Type of modified power pack, if you will.
Yeah, like,
you
or know, something or yeah, whatever.
You get four games, or you get three. Yeah, whatever.
Yeah, maybe you just get one token game. Who knows what you like? It's unclear what you're going to get, but you're going to get something. And is what I imagine, because they can't fit everybody in at 12 feet. You just look at the 901 FC experience. And so, and I'm sure, like, if you're really ticked off, a refund will be one of the options, but I suspect they won't want you to take it. Why? Because they want to stay afloat. They want to keep their lights on. They want to, like, and I, you know, and you've seen this. There has been throughout the last week this appeal to the loyalty of fans, and I suspect that will be stressed because here's the truth. At the end of this time, some institutions will survive and some won't. That's true of businesses. It's true of athletic departments. It's true of teams within athletic departments. It's like some things are going to make it through here and some things are not. And in the end, we should support what we value, right?
Yes.
If you value a restaurant, I hope you have gone out of your way to get takeout at that restaurant, even if you maybe more than we would have, or to tip a little larger because you're thinking, you know what? I want this restaurant to be here when I'm done.
Yes.
Or if you have an institution, a philanthropic institution that you know is struggling, okay, I hope you, maybe your church, maybe you said, you know what, they're not passing a plate every Sunday because people aren't in church. So
yeah.
I'm going to give a little extra to my church because I value my church.
Yeah, and I want my church to be here right. when.
And it's the same thing for the University of Memphis. If you value the University of Memphis, if sports has been an important part of your life, they seem to be making an appeal to you to say now is the time if you value it. If you don't, that's fine. But if you value what Memphis basketball has meant over the years, if you value what Memphis football has meant over the years, then you hopefully that in the difficult time, you will stand up for the university. Anyway, I suspect that's what it's going to look like. But we will see exactly. 10 o'clock is when that will be released. And then, as I said, we will have Laird Veach on with us at 10:25 or 10:30 or so. And after that, Chris Harrington is going to join. No, before that, Chris Harrington is going to join
Correct.
Us. It is Dennis Dodd, then Chris Harrington on the Grizzlies, and then Laird Veach. So we do have a
full slate
show. We have a full slate today. Anything before we get to the Grizzlies, anything else you want to say about college football and this critical time? You have more players opting out.
Yeah.
You have more players organizing. That's happening now in the Big Ten as well as mm-hmm. the Pac-12. You have, there was the offensive lineman from Indiana who is having health problems.
Yep.
That's a hell of a development. Like lingering health problems because of COVID-19. And so that is an issue. Where are you on college football?
First, I'd like to kind of bottom line what you just said about the decision-making processes. And for people in this business like Laird Veach, I can be overly critical of athletic department administrators, but this is one moment in time. I do not envy them.
Oh, my God.
I don't know because – I think far too often, and I understand it's the reality of the situation, but I think sometimes we oversimplify and say that there's either a right decision or there's a wrong decision. Well, the truth is, unless someone out here knows the future, I don't know how you say what is the right and wrong decision. And sometimes I think they're having to pick between what is the least bad decision, and I think they know full well this may not work, and you know, Captain Hindsight will fly in and say, well, you should have done this, you should have done that. I do not envy a single person
trying to avert disaster.
Yes. And right? As you point out, is it all about money? Okay, sure, but...
It is about money.
It is about the athletic department.
All of this, yes.
It's about paying for what you provide.
And let's be honest, this is not Clemson in terms of the money that they get in. It is not a bloated athletic department. You know, it is not a swimming in money. You know, it's not a.
I've yet to see a water slide in the Tiger, right. in one of the Tiger departments.
Took them 30 years practically to get the indoor practice facility built, right?
Yes. And it was why I tipped my cap to them, because I know how hard it was for them to build.
Because they
got to
raise every damn penny. And so. It's just not a, and they also don't say tone deaf stuff like Dabo's been saying. You know, they have been throughout all of this saying the right things. And then, can you imagine, like, you're Laird Veach, you take this job, and to be faced with what he has been faced with in the first year, basically.
Has it even been a calendar year yet?
Started great. Yeah, no, it has been, because it was last summer. It was no, I don't know when he started exactly. I was taking Peter on college trips when he was hired. I was at a Red Sox game last summer, about now. Yeah. And now you come in hoping to keep the momentum going. Listen, you had some great things, right? You had the Cotton Bowl. You had game day. You had the Penny Hardaway era beginning. And then you've had, you know, cataclysmic things. And we thought the worst of it was James Wiseman and an NCAA investigation and everything else. But now we have this. So they're trying to steer their way through. And it's why, honestly, like, to me, the high school football thing is so stupid, because there's not stakes. Like, there's not that's inexcusable. The high school football thing is inexcusable. Like, there's no one losing their job. There's nothing at stake except for, like, ego or something.
And more importantly, whether or not Central High School plays football this year does not keep Central girls basketball, Central men's basketball, Central track. Like, it's not the.
No, there's no financial. There's no financial stakes here.
It's not paying for everything else.
No, it's massive amounts of people aren't going to lose their job. It is the experience of youth. That is true, and that is valuable, and I don't devalue it. But I also acknowledge that it's, you know, the experience of youth has been whacked on every turn, and so why the only youth who we say they need this experience is football is totally freaking beyond me, or sports as opposed to theater or any marching band or anything else. You know, it's just weird and bizarre and stupid. It just is stupid. But here, like, yeah, the whole athletic department could practically vanish. Who knows if there will be Memphis football? And I'm serious. Like, they lose money as it is. Every year, Memphis football loses money with all the ticket money. So what happens when there's no ticket money? Like, this is a moment when you either stand up and support them, or you say, it doesn't matter to me if they exist, really, or if they thrive, really. And so it's a totally different situation, because there at least are competing considerations. Now, I don't know. Like, are they going to get through a single game?
If you made me guess today, I'll say college football starts.
But doesn't finish.
Yeah.
Well, we'll see. And anyway, appreciate
that. And I hope I'm wrong.
Appreciate Laird Veach coming on, and we'll talk to him then. All right. Memphis Grizzlies, they lose a game yesterday. They are now 0-4 in the bubble. I'll tell you what really struck me after the game. What struck me after the game was Taylor Jenkins is a very patient man. He's calm. He's upbeat. He's always talking about the spirit of the group. He's unfailingly positive. And with media, he's unfailingly gracious. And after this game, he was asked, and I'm not saying this was a bad question, because it was not. And not only that, it produced the answer that I led my column with, right?
Yep.
And the question was, Coach, your experience in the bubble, could you speak to how your experience in the bubble differs from your hopes for the experience in the bubble? And Taylor Jenkins said, yeah, we've lost games And, you know, I wish we hadn't gotten hurt, and I wish we hadn't lost games. What else do you want me to say?
Yeah.
And it wasn't – he wasn't testy.
No, it wasn't abrasive, but it was like, what do you want me to –
and again, I'm not ripping the question because it produced the absolute perfect summary of this. And as I said in my column today, which you can read at the Daily Memphian, it's like asking you, Jeffrey, hey, Jeffrey, could you speak to how your experience of 2020 differs from your hopes for the year 2020?
I wish there wouldn't have been a pandemic. I wish that I didn't have to spend 6.5 months with a fiance that was worried about not having her wedding.
I wish there had been sports. But what do you want me to say? Like, it's the exact same. Yes.
I love marching bands. I really wish that there.
I wish life as we knew it had not ended.
Yes.
Thanks very much for asking.
Thank you.
What do you want me to? What the hell else do you want me
Try
to say?
Try the veal.
Try the veal. Like, that's what he, like, it has been, a 2020 experience in the bubble at a time when we wanted the bubble to be a break from that experience,
escape, yeah.
an escape from that experience. Indeed, just last Friday, less than a week ago, we were marveling at the wonderful escape, even in a loss, that Memphis Grizzlies basketball had become, could be, and would continue to be for the next few weeks. And here we are, within 6 days, they have lost 4 basketball games and lost their 3 of their 7 best players.
Other than that, how was the play, Mrs. Lincoln?
That, the food seems to be, we don't get complaints about the food down there anymore. You notice that?
The graphics look great.
No one is taking pictures of the food anymore. Do you notice that?
I have noticed that.
We are a whining people. It's like Yelp. People like to complain. They don't like to compliment. We don't see pictures of the food now. What are they eating now, by the way? What are they eating now? I bet it's not so bad, is it?
And I think that was also predictable. I think you'd get the, because there was always going to be a, it would create a headline like, oh, see, look out, click here to see how bad
we like
the
to
Disney
say how bad
food
things
is.
Are. Yeah,
and then,
we like to say how bad things
and then
are.
You
and
knew then once it, gets, it became.
Once your chef comes there and he's cooking you whatever,
yes,
beautiful filet of salmon with a honey glaze.
Ooh, grilled salmon.
So anyway, so yeah, that was it yesterday. Like I we can dissect it if we want. And I think the moments that you would, the if you're being critical of what happened yesterday.
Not that we are, but if we were.
Yes, I'm really not. Like, if you would be critical of what happened yesterday, you'd say, why, when in a 22-1 run, which Utah put on them, why did Ja only take one shot? That's a fair question. Why, when they're down by 5 in deep in the second half and you have 2 straight possessions, you get 2 straight stops, why the play is Jonas with a 3 and then Kyle Anderson with a 3, right?
Yep.
That's a fair question. Do you have any other fair? Well, why can't they keep the opposing guards out of the lane?
The game was decided at this point, but, and I understand he's always the villain of the moment. There was a play in like the last 30 seconds.
You're not pummeling Dillon on this one, are you?
How can you not be? There's 34 seconds left.
Leave Dillon alone.
There's 34 seconds left. You know, hey, if basically it's one pass and shoot. And it's Ja was going to bring the ball up, and whoever he could get the best look, that was who was going to shoot.
I have no patience for pounding Dillon on a day like today. This was not a Dillon moment. So anyway, if you want to criticize,
like,
what do you think of the? Because here's the truth. I think the other thing is bigger though, because it's shot selection and whatever. And I don't know what.
No, that sequence
what
was
Taylor
the entire.
Jenkins would say about that, because Taylor his whole deal has been let it freaking fly, right?
Yeah.
And we want everyone to have the confidence to shoot. And if you're open, let it freaking fly. How would, like, I will tell you, I never feel good about a Jonas Valanciunas 3-pointer. Like, he takes them now regularly. I don't really see why that is a significant, like, why that's a thing.
Yeah,
I don't want him to let it freaking fly.
I think he took 81 maybe during the year, and he actually hit somewhere around 30 of them. He was actually shooting 36.1%, But let's also apply some context. Most of those threes were in the first half in the non-deciding moments of a game, and you're fine with him taking those shots.
It is funny, though. Why does that make a difference? In the end, you tote up the score. Why is a shot that would be a bad shot with 5 minutes to go not also be a bad shot unless it creates space for you to do more good things? That's the answer.
My answer is I'm fine with him taking those shots early.
But it doesn't create space. It only creates space if you guard it.
Sure.
And I don't think they guard it. So, but whatever. Like, that was a question. And if that had been, listen, if this had been a game six of an NBA Finals and that had been the two shots in that moment, they'd be getting fricasseed, right?
Yes. And I think
eviscerated.
And I think, to me, the reason why this experience is still beneficial.
It's clearly beneficial.
Because in the end, like, I take what Utah did yesterday, and they didn't play perfect basketball by any stretch of the imagination. But the Grizzlies actually got four stops in a row, and the lead shrank zero. And then when Utah got their stops, they got buckets. And maybe it's, you know.
Oh, I think they're learning valuable things here. Like, so take Brandon Clark's experience yesterday,
yeah.
Right? It was not a good one. Everyone's like, Brandon Clark, he's going to step in there and just pick up. It's going to be the Brandon Clark show. Well, that show closed after a few minutes. It was not the Brandon Clark show. I do think that when you're a rookie, failing on that stage in that moment when you're elevated to the starting lineup is a good learning experience. I really do believe that.
I agree.
I think for Ja, having to go against, you know, twice he's gone against small backcourts, but twice against San Antonio and New Orleans he's gone against big, strong guards. I think that is a valuable learning experience for Ja. I think very clearly for the team to see Grayson Allen emerge the way he has, like to see how what De'Anthony Melton does in this moment, even if it looks, you're learning something. Even if what you learn is, honestly, it's not unlike me going to be a lawyer.
Yeah.
Right? Here's the truth. My experience as a lawyer, not that much different than the Grizzlies' experience in Disney. Very similar in a lot of ways.
Very similar to my experience selling food.
And your experience selling food. You learn from, it's what Penny used to call W's and L's.
I need to quit and do something else.
And so W's and L's, and the L is learn. And so it's very clearly a valuable experience.
Wins and lessons.
It is not a fun experience for either the fans or the Grizzlies, but it is, I think, unquestionably a valuable experience. All right, we're going to take a break, come back, talk to Dennis Dodd coming up next. Then we've got Chris Harrington, then Laird Veach. Busy day here on the Jeff Calkin Show, 92.9 FM ESPN.
All right, I'm here with Macaulay Williams, who is the CEO of BR Distilling, where you can pick up Riverset Rye whiskey and Blue Note. Macaulay, thanks for being here with me, man. I wanted to ask you a few questions about Riverset. It's made right here in Memphis. How important is that for you guys to keep Riverset local, to be a local business and a local Memphis drink?
Yeah, we're Memphians. We wanted to produce a product by Memphians for Memphians. It's crafted right here in Memphis, and I gotta say that the heat and humidity lend itself to the aging process, and then we have great water, as we all know, that really help us make a great whiskey.
How do you get away with this thing being $29.99? I just think that's a really accessible price point, really affordable.
Well, it's not magic, John. We really wanted to create a product that was affordable and approachable for those that are experienced whiskey drinkers and then those that are new to whiskey drinking. So we wanted to make sure that we had a product that was accessible by the entire city of Memphis.
Go against the current. Join the Rye Rebellion and pick up a bottle of Riverset Rye Whiskey today.
As you get back to business, small things can make a big difference, like marking safe distances with floor tape and posting reminders to wash hands. As always, Grainger is here to help, offering supplies and solutions for every industry, free access to product specialists, 24/7 support, safety recovery guides, and more. It's part of our commitment to help you adapt and recover in these challenging times. Call, clickgrainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
From muscle pain, body aches, to strains, Blue Emu Maximum Arthritis. It works fast and you won't stink. Its unique formula with emu oil penetrates deep to relieve arthritis pain, sore muscles, joints, and more.
Now that we're getting back on the road, the stops we make seem more special than before. Stop to see a friend. Stop at your favorite store. Stop at the places you missed most. And to keep you going between those stops, there's Shell. stopping to fill up with our best fuel ever. Save with the Fuel Rewards program. And to get snacks and essentials that can save you even more at the pump. That's just a few of the ways Shell helps you make the most of the stop you need to make. See full terms and conditions at fuelrewards.com.
There's nothing like meeting face-to-face, and there's nothing like Zoom to make that happen. Zoom lets you connect and do business across town or around the world. Zoom ties together all of your communication needs into one easy platform for video conferencing, phone calls, group chat, webinars, and your conference rooms. Connect easily from anywhere, your mobile phone, your laptop, or conference room. Zoom is how business gets done. Get your free account at Zoom.com today. Meet happy with Zoom.
The best radio stations in America live on radio.com. Atlanta's V103, number one for hip-hop and R&B. The world-famous 106.7 KROQ, LA and Orange County's alternative. Chicago's finest rock, 93 XRT. Alice at 97.3 with the Bay Area's best music and lots more. Find them and listen to what you want when you want on radio.com, on your desktop, smart speakers, or the free radio.com app.
Meet Chuck. Now, meet Chuck's personal information.
Hello.
Made up of things like account logins, bank info, and Chuck's social security number. Whenever Chuck shops, banks, and browses online, his info travels all over the world.
Bonjour. Ni hao. Privyet.
Exposing it to cyber threats.
Well, that's no good.
So how is Chuck able to sleep? Because he knows Norton and LifeLock are now part of one company. Norton 360 with LifeLock provides an all-in-one membership for your cyber safety that gives you device security, identity theft protection, a VPN for online privacy, and more. No one can prevent all cybercrime and identity theft, but Norton 360 with LifeLock is your ally in today's connected world.
That's a relief, right, Chuck? I think that's a yes.
Sign up today for Norton 360 with LifeLock and save 25% or more off your first year by going to norton.com/news. That's norton.com/news for 25% off. Good.
Broadcasting live from the Triumph Bank Studios, invested in our communities, making banking easy for you. Let's talk growth. Triumph Bank. It's the Jeff Calkins Show on 92.9 FM ESPN.
Joined now by Dennis Dodd, CBSSports.com. Broke a story earlier this week, I believe, about the American Athletic Conference and what they were good. You've broken so many stories, I lose track. Dennis, how are you?
I'm good, Jeff. My head is spinning a little bit these days.
Well, I appreciate your work, and I guess here's my question. What is your confidence that there – let's start with this one. What will be your confidence that there is going to be a college football – champion crowned at the end of this season?
Yeah, not well. I cop out because when I'm asked that these days, I just say I believe there are going to be football games this fall, college football games this fall. I cannot predict if we'll make it through the season, if it'll be delayed,
right,
how championships will be. I just can't. I don't know. I think we'll make it to the point where there are games. But I'll just go from there. I hate to cop out.
No, I think honestly that's the fair answer, and I think that I don't think that any of the people planning know either. And I was saying earlier, there's lots of people who you can criticize on lots of fronts here if you're of a mind to. In the end, everyone is just trying to survive. Like given the uncertainty, they are trying to do what they can to stay afloat. Is that not your sense of what is happening here?
Yeah. I just wish somebody would say it out loud, you know, and I get that the stakeholders, you know, don't want to say if we don't have a portion of this TV money, at least a lot of us are going to be a nuclear winner. Actually, Jamie Pollard at Iowa State said that, the AD.
Right.
He was very, very frank about it. But that's what they're doing, to the point that had the Board of Governors, NCAA Board of Governors, canceled all the fall championships that would have boxed in football and made it really hard for them to go on. I think they would have gone on, but it would have been a bad, bad look with championships canceled and the only one that's not controlled by the NCAA moving on.
Well, and
that's happening anyway.
to say that it's all about money is, of course it is. I said earlier, you look at the Ivy League where no money's at stake. They say we don't need to play. You look at the Power Five where giant TV money is at stake. They say we want to play our conference games. You look at the American Athletic Conference where they don't want to, here at Memphis, they don't want to sacrifice the option of maybe getting some money from Purdue for a game that won't be played. They say we're going to play all of our schedule. Like all of those decisions are 100% driven by financial considerations, right? Just like mine are about I'm living my life and yours are too, I'm sure.
Yeah, for all those who say we in the sports media are doom and gloom, I'm not rooting to lose my job, you know. But it doesn't seem right now to break down the Georgia quarterback situation. You know what I mean?
Right.
This is the story, and you know, I'm rooting for them to play. I'm not rooting for them not to play. To say anything else is silly.
What's the NCAA has taken a lot of criticism here, and has been exposed suggests that might have one thought otherwise before this, as fundamentally powerless over college football. But we knew the NCAA was powerless over college football. Is there any answer, and will there be coming out of this any move to empower some organization or entity or that can set rules for all? I get the sense that conferences don't actually want to give up their power and schools don't want to give up their power to anyone but their conferences. And so,
yeah, that's true. And that's why Mark Emmert keeps getting raises and extensions, even though now you have people and even players expressing their dissatisfaction out loud at the lack of leadership. I always go back to the point that the NCAA has 1,100 schools, and in normal times, the Division III school in Oregon doesn't care that somebody got screwed by an enforcement case or North Carolina didn't get sent to jail over academic fraud. It's not their world. All they care about is having that NCAA shingle to hang out, which gets them, which brands the university, not just athletics, brands the university in terms of research, faculty hiring, enrollment, everything. They just don't care. So when Mark Emmert steps out of line in something like this, it gets a lot of people's attention. This does go down to Division III. And the fact yesterday, they're so reactionary. They're never, ever, ever, it seems like to me, proactive. He said on the air, on the Today Show, Mark Emmert today, all these testing guidelines are now mandatory. I'm looking over the document right now. I don't see the word mandatory. They're not mandatory because they can't be. They can't overrule local state health guidelines. They can't overrule university health officials. They can suggest testing once a week within 72 hours of the game, but that's only a suggestion. A suggestion is only a guideline.
Well, that is one thing I was going to ask about, because the testing thing is a real – my understanding is that the according to the NCAA, if someone tests positive – they and everyone they came in contact with has to be quarantined for 2 weeks. That you can't make it through a season if that is true.
No.
You can't make it through a quarter of a season if that is true. Like, you can't make it to the first game if that is true. Is that a universal rule, or is that not a universal rule? What I'm going to ask Laird Veach, I'm about to have on the show tomorrow, in the second hour, that question as it applies to the University of Memphis. And that's what the NCAA is saying, but that can't be how Alabama's going to operate if they want to play football games.
Well, and we've already seen that at Colorado State University, if all those allegations are true. Not only are they not, this is all allegations,
right.
Not only are they not quarantining players, they're encouraging them not to report symptoms. And now there's an investigation there. So all the health professionals I talk to, and I'm not an expert, seem to agree that's the case. The two-week thing. Now, you've got both Rutgers and Michigan State, because of that, sitting out right now. They've had huge outbreaks where they're contact tracing and they've had positive infections, and they've got to sit out. I mean, we saw it in baseball with the Cardinals and Marlins. You know, there are ways, I guess, to quote unquote get around this. It's called layered testing. First of all, no test is 100% accurate, not even close, by the way. I think the viral PCR is maybe 80%. Layered testing is you give different kinds of tests and you give them all at once, so you just layer them. Hopefully, you know, if one test misses it, another gets it. Now, there's costs with that. Schools can't afford it. That's why I think yesterday the Board of Governors separated Division 2 and 3 and said, you know, you can do whatever you want. We're not going to tell Division 1 they can't conduct their championships in the fall, which, again, would box in football. So it's complicated. That's a lot to
Well, it's the interesting thing is that's not what the NFL is doing. Like, the NFL is saying if you test positive – you have to be tested positive, but the—I mean, you have to be quarantined. But the people that you contact once they pass two tests, get negative on two tests, they can be back at it. Which and I certainly am not a health professional, but if that is good enough for the NFL, I don't really understand why that's not good enough for college football. It gives because
I don't. I'm not going to sit here and say I know because I don't.
What would when you say nuclear winter, what do you think nuclear winter, let's say you don't get much of that TV money, you don't get whatever, what does nuclear winter look like? We saw UConn has already said they're not going to have football. UConn's in a different situation because they basically were already abandoning football, gone independent. I don't know that it's a precedent, but what does nuclear winter look like for a place like, you know, Clemson, but also a place like, let's just say, Cincinnati? What does nuclear winter look like?
Yeah, I was just going to mention UConn, and I think there are going to be more of those in among the independents because of the same stresses on the budget. But Jamie Pollard put it well in that letter. He's at a place like Iowa State. He said, I wouldn't have, forget about playing football in the spring, I wouldn't have $40 million of football income in the fall to take care of the existing athletes while they're here not playing football. And that's nutrition. That's everything. I don't know if that's housing. I don't know. He said we wouldn't be able to take care of them in the way we usually do. A lot of these schools, not a lot, have some sort of rainy day fund. Georgia has $100 million. They say they can get through it. They've been very Spartan under Greg McGarrity, and to his credit. Ohio State has $10 million, which to me isn't much. At the end of the day, you'd see schools being leveraged to the gills. They'd borrow money. There was a story yesterday in the San Jose Mercury News. The Pac-12 is pursuing a plan where they would get over $900 million in loans to their 12 schools. It would average $83 million to make everybody whole at 3.75% over 10 years. That's a hunk of change, and that's a big interest rate. But that's something these schools would be doing, athletic departments, I should say, just so they can function.
Well, and here's the truth, though. It's a lot easier to borrow that money when you're the Pac-12 and you have future television contracts you can borrow it
against than when you are
SMU or Memphis or whatever else, and you don't have those future television contracts you can borrow against. I don't know what happens.
Well, they're backed up, Jeff. They're in that situation, either all or part of it. Because I asked this person, okay, $100 million loan, what's the collateral? Well, it would be the university. The university would back it up. You know, they would make the loan good if it went bad. That's what I'm told.
Interesting. Okay, what do you make of the Pac-12 and the Pac-12 and now the Big Ten? It appears like these organizing student athletes and their request for a voice, but also for a share of what seems to be diminishing revenues.
Well, that's two different things. The Pac-12 thing, I think, was well-intentioned, but there were a couple things on there that were not realistic. And you know what? When you're 18 and 22 years old, you're going to say some things that are unrealistic. You know, when people took to the streets in the 60s, they did some things wrong, but they also changed the world in the end. I mean, we're all better for it, and we may be better for it because of the protests that are going on now. But the Pac-12 asked for 50% of the revenue. Players asked for 50% of the revenue. Not realistic. A substantial reduction in Larry Scott's salary. While that may be warranted, you are worth what someone will pay you. He's the commissioner. But I wrote about it yesterday. I think we're at an inflection point. I think we're seeing a revolution in real time by these athletes, that they're putting their name on this in terms of health and welfare, in terms of social injustice and Black Lives Matter. Those two things have spurred this to the point that they now realize that they are not only the supply, but they are the demand. Nothing happens until they take the field. And that's really what they're saying here. They're using their labor force, even though they're pass-throughs. And by pass-throughs, I mean every 4 years, 2 years, 3 years, new guys come in. But you can't have a game without the players. And that's why they're getting changed. This will happen.
It is interesting, because when they see the desperate lengths that athletic departments have gone to play football, and the financial stakes, it has made them, that has driven home how important they are to them. Of course, precisely at a time when there's less revenue to share, it does strike me that all their complaints about health, et cetera, I mean, baseball come up with a plan with its union. The NFL has to come up with a plan with its union. Here, I think it's totally reasonable that players are saying, how come every other athlete who's being used in this way or who's being asked to play in this way has someone representing them, but we do not, particularly when it comes with health protocols? How can you begrudge them that?
Yeah, I have said that from the beginning of this. This would be, to me, a perfect time to have a players union in college, not to negotiate compensation, but to sit at a table with a representative of their interests across from the NCAA, the schools, or whoever, and say, this is what we want in terms of testing. Here's how we feel safe. Here's what we think needs to be done. I think that's more than logical and should be allowed. Instead, you've got this piecemeal approach, where the NCAA, again, issues guidelines but can't enforce them, so that's all they are, suggestions on testing. And then you've got experts saying, well, once a week isn't even close to being enough. And the players speak out, and this isn't to have that negotiation wouldn't upset the apple cart. You know, NIL is going to happen. They're going to be more empowered, for better or worse. And we're sitting here having this silly argument over how much they can get. Meanwhile, we're having another parallel argument with, are they protected enough? So you can see why the players, when they organize like this, are upset.
Dennis, really appreciate you joining us. Thanks for your good work, and it will be interesting to see how this all turns out. Thanks again. Stay safe.
Great. Jeff, thank you so much.
Yeah, that is Dennis Dodd from CBS. We're going to take a quick break. Back at Mom's Jeff Calkins Show. We got Chris Harrington. We have Laird Veach coming up in a moment. Jeff Calkins Show, 92.9 FM ESPN.
Hi, this is Wes McClooney, owner of the New Balance Memphis store. It's back to school, and I have an announcement for your children's feet. Okay, feet, this school year you need to help our children stand strong. You need to support them as they transition to a new type of environment, whether they're learning at school or learning online. They need new shoes to help give them the energy and endurance to learn, run, and play under unusual circumstances. They need New Balance shoes. They're designed specifically for younger feet with cutting-edge technology, and they come in some pretty cool colors, too. And when you shop at the New Balance Memphis store, our in-store fit experts will scan and measure your feet, resulting in a shoe that fits you perfectly. Come to the New Balance Memphis store to get the exact fit you need and help support your local store. We'll treat you right. Stop by and give us a chance to earn your business. New Balance Memphis, located in the Cordova Town Center on Germantown Parkway behind the Outback Steakhouse. New Balance Memphis, your feet will thank you.
I had cancer for the fourth time.
I have bipolar disorder.
I was hit by a car.
I have a rare disease.
I have Down syndrome.
Children's health care in the United States is severely underfunded.
We can't wait while the debate over a funding solution continues.
Kids can't wait. Give to the Children's Miracle Network Hospital's COVID-19 Impact Fund. Text CHILD to 51555. CHILD to 51555.
Hi, I'm a 2020 census taker. As I walk around your neighborhood, you'll see my census bag and ID badge. We're coming by to assist anyone who hasn't completed it yet, and we'll be wearing a mask and following local guidelines for everyone's safety. We'll be asking some simple questions that will inform funds for healthcare, education, and more over the next decade. But right now is your chance to make a big difference. Shape your future. Start here at 2020census.gov. Paid for by U.S. Census Bureau.
There are a number of ways to know when you need a new roof. Maybe the shingles are curled or cracked. Maybe a storm causes multiple leaks. Just the look of a worn roof can keep you from selling your home. This is Jeff Calkins, and I want to tell you about Bennett Roofing, a locally owned, licensed, and insured company that understands that your roof is a big investment. So from beginning to end, they'll let you know everything to expect and how your beautiful new roof is going to look when it's done. So contact the folks I'd contact by going to BennettRoofingMemphis.com or calling 359-9708. That's 359-9708.
Dell supports America's entrepreneurs during Small Business Month with all you need to office anywhere. Save up to 45% on computers and servers with Intel Core processors. Upgrade to new modern devices with Windows 10. Plus, save on top-brand tech while enjoying free shipping on everything and special financing with Dell Business Credit. Call 877-ASK-DELL to talk to a Dell Technologies advisor who can help you find the tech that's just right. That's 877-ASK-DELL or visit Dell.com/smallbusinessdeals.
Welcome to AutoZone. What are you working on today? Oil change coming up? We can help you out. Right now, you can get 5 quarts of Pennzoil High Mileage Motor Oil and an STP oil filter for just $27.99. And if you need it fast, we can help you get it fast. Whether it's at home with our next day delivery or in-store and curbside with our free same day pickup. The choice is yours. Getting the job done just got easier. Restrictions and details at AutoZone.com.
Get in the zone, AutoZone.
Need a job? The Wing Guru is expanding and needs great employees. Join the fastest growing franchise in the Mid-South. For scholarship assistance and to apply, visit thewingguru.com.
Broadcasting live from the Triumph Bank Studios, invested in our communities, making banking easy for you. Let's talk growth. Triumph Bank. It's the Jeff Calkins Show on 92.9 FM ESPN.
Thanks to Dennis Dodd for joining us. Your thoughts, Jeffrey. I hate to say it. His answer, will there be football, will there be a champion, is to punt. It's the only sensible, like, it's literally a question I was arguing with on, I was talking to Fishman about on the way in, okay. Right? As you know, I wouldn't say he's doom and gloom. Like, this idea, someone told me the other day, Fishman's rooting for the virus.
Mm-hmm.
You understand. He writes books for a living,
yes.
And then when he's not writing books, he gives speeches. That's what he does.
Yes.
He's invited to give speeches. Business groups have him in, et cetera, whatever else. And in case any of you want Fishman to come in and talk to your group,
mm-hmm.
he gets $10,000 a throw.
Gosh, that would.
Right? That's what he gets to come speak to groups. So, and we give it to, we give him to you.
Where did we go wrong?
We give him to you for free. Here, we give him Fish
our
on
gift
Fridays.
To you.
Our gift to you is $10,000 of Fishman every Friday for free. You know how many speeches he's giving now, like flying around giving speeches?
That would be zero.
None. Chance. None. But he doesn't think a game will be played. Right? And I think he's just flat wrong because I think he's underestimating the level of desperation to play games. Right? But the truth of the matter is, me, you, Dennis, Fishman, Laird,
mm-hmm.
none of us know.
Absolutely.
You could look at the... at Major League Baseball as an example of how hard it is,
yes.
right? Or you could look at Major League Baseball as baseball how it's going to work.
Exactly.
In a good way. Here's what happens. Cardinals test positive. Screw you, Cardinals. Sit, right? And we'll everyone else can keep playing. And
unfortunately, I don't have to watch them not score anymore.
So, yeah. So, I mean, which isn't an example of? The 901 FC, they're not in a bubble.
Yeah.
They're playing games.
With some fans.
With some fans, some limited fans, like that's very much what it could look like.
Yeah.
I have a column that's going to go up in a little bit about all of this. I've been sort of writing about football and whatever. I set the over-under for games, Memphis football games played, 11 on the schedule.
Yep.
I set the over-under in my column. Where would you set the over-under?
5.5.
I said 6.
Okay.
5.5 is probably right. That's what would you take?
probably take the
Here's the
under.
Truth. It's not just an outbreak for Memphis. It's an outbreak
it's
of
everyone.
Any other team that they're playing, too, right? Like,
yeah.
So Memphis might be healthy and ready to play, and UT San Antonio down there in Texas
sure.
might have an outbreak. That game's at UT San Antonio.
Or what if, you know, what if the Big Ten ends up having, you know, they're on the same schedule in terms of start date as the AAC. What happens if they can't get through week three? They shut it down, and then, you know, the ACC has an outbreak, and they shut it down, and then you're in this weird position of, okay, are we just going to keep going? You know what I mean? Like, at what point does multiple leagues shutting down mean everyone's got to shut it down? And obviously, they have autonomy to do what they
Oh, I see.
But you see what I'm saying? Like, from a
if you're saying is in 2 weeks, the Big Ten, which right now has three teams on lockdown.
Correct.
The Big Ten says, yeah, we're not going to do this.
Correct.
And by the way, they also do have the capacity to borrow money, et cetera, right?
Yes.
If the Big Ten says that, and then the SEC says that, and Pepecto, and all the Power Five say
right.
that, does the AAC have to say, well, okay, we're going too?
Right.
In other words, it's not
it's
really
not
up
safe
to them.
For them, but it's safe for our kids, and most of our schools are in the same states as these other leagues. How can we?
There's been a lot of talk about football players having a voice and being thrust in this difficult situation,
yeah.
et cetera. Don't you also believe that 90% at least of those football players just want to play?
Yes, I do.
I mean, like, let's not overestimate
yes.
the players. Like, the Washington Post did an unbelievable story on it was the SEC talking to football players about
their conference
concerns.
Call that they had. Yeah.
Right, their concerns. And it was leaked to the Washington Post. And I have to say the SEC officials sounded awful in that story about the answers they gave. I do believe there are football players who are really concerned about their own personal safety, et cetera.
Yes, just as I believe that there are everyday Americans that are
exactly.
legitimately concerned.
But I think, what do we know? We know that people in that age group
yes.
are among the people who are flouting the rules the most and spreading the virus the most, right?
Yes, that seems to be reasonable.
Well, that's why we close bars, right?
Yes.
I mean, that's why we close bars down again. It's because 20-year-olds were acting like 20-year-olds.
Yes.
Well, that's what football players are.
Correct. And it's why whenever I see a plan about, well, this is how we're going to play football, if the plan includes anything that basically says don't act like a 20-year-old, I don't have a lot of faith that plan's going to be effective. If that's the basis of the plan, not going to parties, not socializing. And I'm not even saying like, oh, there was a rave at a warehouse and there were 500 people. But asking 20-year-olds to not go hang out with 10 people at someone else's house or more, you know, 10, 15 people, I just don't think that's that reasonable. It's just going to happen. I mean, heck, Jeff, most of these, I know your college experience was on campus, if you will. Like, y'all had the houses, but I lived with six guys.
Oh, even in my – I lived with four guys my whole time. Like, we lived in a dorm with four
yeah.
guys and we – whatever else. Yes, people are going to – like Pat Forty, because of what happened in Louisville,
yeah.
Everything was traced back to a party, an off-campus party.
Yeah.
And he retweeted the story and he said, memo to college football players, stop going to parties.
Yeah.
Stop breathing.
Yeah.
You know, they're just not going to. That's not what's going to happen.
I mean, I think about it this. I lived with six guys, and I had, another group of friends that lived in the same kind of neighborhood that we lived in. Oftentimes, we'd congregate either at our house or someone else's house, and all of a sudden, you know, it's not as if, you know, we're all friends, but it's not as if, hey, man, where were you? You know, did you go to the airport this week? You know what I mean? Like, I don't know how you can... I don't know pragmatically how you can pull this off. And I hope that they do.
Right. I hope that they do. Okay. Here's what we're going to do. We are going to take a break. We're going to go back and talk to Chris Harrington. And then we are going to talk to Laird Veach and see what he says about all of this as Memphis unrolls and releases their season ticket plan, which will happen momentarily. It's Jeff Calkins Show, 92.9 FM ESPN.
The Mid-South's number one for sports. WMFS-FM and HD1 Bartlett. WMFS Memphis. On the radio.com live and rewind anytime. Smart speakers just say, play 92.9 ESPN.
Get more with McDonald's 4 for 4. It's a full meal that includes a tasty sandwich, chicken McNuggets, fries, and a medium drink for just $4. And now, McDonald's 4 for 4 comes with plenty of sandwich options to choose from, like the fiery hot and spicy McChicken or the classic McChicken you love. McDonald's 4 for 4. Swing by and get yours today. Prices and participation may vary.
This August, you could win $20,000.
$20,000.
Or even $200,000.
$200,000.
Introducing two new instant games with two ways to play.
Two ways to play.
And two ways to win.
Two ways to win.
Double match and double match bonus.
Double match and double match bonus.
Double the fun. Double the chances. Double the cash. Double match and double match bonus. Only from the Tennessee Lottery. Game-changing fun. Please play responsibly.
Get ready to get your game on with the Tennessee Lottery and fill up your day with fun. Like when you need to upgrade the fun on that road trip. When you could use a little, did I just win $50 fun?
Woo, yeah!
Or when you like to add a side of fun to that next snack.
Wow, it's good.
Would you like some fun with that?
Oh, yeah.
Then play the Tennessee Lottery.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.